This is the Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast for the new episode every Tuesday, and that's available at thehollywoodoutsider.com, iTunes, or Stitcher. I am your host, Aaron Peterson, and this is a special episode of the Hollywood Outsider. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while, we like to bring in an interview with independent filmmakers, kind of to give you an insight into both what goes into getting their films made, as well as insight into the respective film itself. For this episode, I am talking to producers Jason Fowler and Kynan Griffin from Aerostorm Entertainment. Now, Aerostorm has numerous films available, so I encourage all you guys to visit their website, aerostormentertainment.com. But for this interview, Jason and Kynan dropped by to discuss their new film, Mythica. It's a new fantasy adventure that is airing exclusively on Con TV. Okay, you might not know what Con TV is. It just launched not too long ago, and it's starting to catch a lot of buzz. If you haven't heard of them, Con TV is a new online streaming network that caters to the geeks in the world. Those of us that are listening to this who love to live in the world of fandom, that's who they aim things for. These are the original properties are made by fans for fans is really their motto. They have everything from He-Man cartoons to an original game show called Last Fan Standing, starring my personal geek champion, Bruce Campbell. So you realize that I squeed quite a bit as soon as I watched that. There's a lot of stuff there, and it works well. It's just like watching Netflix, except it's tailored to quote-unquote geeks. In fact, you can watch Mythica, the movie we're going to talk about. You can watch it right there, right now, for free. So this isn't a 30-minute advertisement of Mythica. This is saying, this movie's available. I think you should check it out. It's an independent film, but you know what? The production value is actually pretty strong for an independent film. I really recommend you should check it out. Make up your own mind. Like I said, contv.com, really easy. Just go there and watch it. But what you're probably wanting to know is, what the heck is Mythica anyway? It's directed by Anne Black. It's called Mythica, A Quest for Heroes. And it stars Melanie Stone. She's a relative newcomer. And she plays an indentured servant, Merrick. She's a club-footed innocent who begins to realize she has magical powers. After a priestess's sister is snatched by a giant ogre, Merrick vows to rally together a team to help save her. We're kind of treated to all the classic archetypes in the genre, the warrior, the thief, orcs. You even get a little Kevin Sorbo in the movie, you know, harken back to his Hercules days. I love Kevin Sorbo. He always seems like the nicest guy. Anything he's in, I'll probably give a chance to. Now keep in mind, Mythica is an independent film. They don't have Peter Jackson's budget. So I was expecting something, and I talk about in the interview, of sci-fi quality. Turns out they actually put their money to really good use. I found myself throughout the film wanting more in this world, wanting them to evolve, to elaborate on some things. I mean, it really got wrapped up into it. I dug it. It's shot well. The story is engaging. And Melanie Stone is a really captivating lead. I really found her delightful. If you want to look for yourself, like I said, just go to contv.com. Anyway, these guys were fun to talk to. Amiable, interesting, full of ideas. We discussed their movie, what goes into making a film like this, as well as their plans for the future. As always, keep in mind that this is a phone interview, so audio quality isn't the same as it is from our typical show. You're going to have, you know, some parts where they might drop a little bit, or it's not as perfect sounding as I would like. Here's my interview with producers Jason Fowler and Kynan Griffin. So I've got Jason and Kynan from Aerostorm Entertainment, and I kind of want, for the listeners, I want to differentiate who is who for everybody listening. So why don't each of you introduce yourself and tell us how you got into filmmaking?
Hey, this is Kynan Griffin. I got into filmmaking through film school, but it's something that I always loved since I was a little kid. But while we were in college, Jason and I met up and we made a few short films together, and then as we were graduating, we decided, hey, we kind of need to decide what to do with our lives. And so we raised some money and made a feature. And that's kind of how we got started.
Yeah, I'm Jason Fowler. I guess how I got started in film was I wanted to write for The Simpsons. And I knew I needed to learn about screenwriting, and took some classes and started film school, and kind of never looked back. So, and then the rest of my story is pretty similar. I met up with Kynan in film school. We made films together and graduated and started making features. That was over 10 years ago. So,
oh, you guys have been partners for 10 years then?
Yes. Wow. Yep.
That's
making
good news.
We started out making comedies, and then 4 years ago started Aerostorm Entertainment, and since then I've been making science fiction and fantasy exclusively, which is what we always wanted to make, and never felt we could make that viable and successful, and the opposite was true. It was, for us at least, easier and better to do the thing we loved most. So,
well, that brings up a good point before we get to Mythica. Fantasy films, I'm sure you guys know this, are like the hardest fans in the world to please. So knowing that, how does the nature of that beast like influence what you guys do?
A quick story. Someone came up recently at a convention and you know, told me what a huge fan he was of our films. And then with the remaining maybe 30 seconds he had to talk to me, explained to me how impossible it was that a man be able to lift a woman with just one arm in the way that he did, and to kiss her during that would be impossible. And that was, you know, that was the essence of his fanhood. Was even though he loved and owned all of our movies, he had 1 minute with the producer writer to tell me his you know, the thing he'd been waiting to talk about. And that was it. And that's one side of, and that's a bad example, but of the very detail oriented and realism oriented nature of fantasy fans and audiences. And on the other side, they're so embracing and so excited and wonderful about the content, and are so forgiving of your budget, of what you're able to do versus the studios. So it's an interesting duality, kind of.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what really drew Jason and I to fantasy films is that we're huge fans ourselves. You know, we grew up reading fantasy novels and playing Dungeons and Dragons and everything else to do with fantasy. And so it's very much a world that we've immersed ourselves in and a world that we understand. So we are fans, and we know where our fans are coming from as a result.
Okay, well, along those same lines, because you brought up fans, I guess I'm going to bring something I was going to bring up at the end. I'll bring it up a little earlier. A friend of our show, and he's a fellow podcaster, his name's Kevin, he's a big fan of Aerostorm. He contributes to your campaigns. He talks about Aerostorm all the time and the quality that you guys put out. So he had a question he wanted to ask if he could get it in. I said, sure. What he said was, fans appreciate there's a company out there that still does fantasy and sci-fi on a regular basis, but because so many of them seem to go for horror or the low-hanging fruit, so to speak. He wanted to know why you choose to focus on fantasy when so few film companies will.
Well, I mean, most of it has to do that we love it. You know, we don't like horror movies. We enjoy fantasy. We enjoy writing for fantasy. We enjoy creating fantasy worlds. And so that's the number one reason we do it. I think secondly, our various distributors around the world want us to make fantasy. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk to them a lot and they're like, you know, we ask them what they're looking for and they're like, no, just keep doing what you guys are doing. You're filling a gap which no one else is. You know, so I think there's a lot of demand for fantasy content and not that much supply. And so that's why Aerostorm is kind of focused there too.
Well, Mythica it's a 3-film series, right? You've shot the entire series already. And the potential is there to turn it into more films down the road, possibly, maybe a series. You're kind of open in that respect. Is that about right?
Not only the potential, the third movie that we made really leaves off in a very a very frustrating place if that were to be the end. So we have every intention of continuing the series and doing, we say, at the least 2 more films and possible other connected media. So,
but yes, we've shot 3 of them. We originally planned to shoot 5, so that would be the ongoing goal. But yes, 3 of them are shot and in the can already. And in fact, edited already.
Oh, really? So they're just ready to go?
Well, we're still, movie 2, we're just finishing up visual effects and music on. And then as soon as that's done, we'll start, you know, music and visual effects and sound on movie 3. So Movie two will be done in probably about a month or so, and then well, maybe a little longer. But then movie three will be a few months after that.
Were you guys nervous going into that? I mean, that's a pretty big task, three back-to-back.
Yes. I don't know how nervous we were so much as excited about all the benefits that would come from shooting three movies back-to-back, which would be that, you know, we'd reuse locations or stay at them all in one go. We'd bring the cast out once, you know, we'd fly people out once, we'd hire one crew, and that same crew would work through the three films. So none of that turned out to be true. The process of making three films, everything Peter Jackson promised us was a lie. The process
funny.
Of making three films back to back is unbelievably difficult, and really all problems snowball rather than coalesce.
Yeah, I'd say it's harder to make three films back to back than three individual films separately. You know, it was kind of a terrible experience and a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
But we're basically shooting for 5 or 6 months, and we had, you know, 4 months pre-production prior to that. And so, you know, Mimica basically just engulfed full-time at least a year of our lives, and now post-production's been, you know, almost another year. So it's been a very absorbing task, but, you know, very enjoyable. It's great to be so focused on a single project for so long.
Does that affect the script as you go? I mean, you've got three scripts. As you're shooting, do you realize, well, this element's not really working for film, we need to tweak it for the further films, or do you just stick to what you already have?
No, it's an ongoing development process for sure. The third film wasn't the same as it began, and neither was the second.
Yeah, I think the second film changed the most. We try to kind of shoot them in order. But as we were shooting movie two, we kind of adapted the script quite a lot based on just who we had cast and how the chemistry was working and the dynamics of the characters. We ended up changing one character who appears in movie two very significantly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was definitely an evolving process, and the actors brought a lot to that process too, just as they really delved into their characters. You know, they were able to contribute a lot to the writing process in that way because they understood what their characters should be doing and who they were.
I kind of took the world as very, I don't really want to say Lord of the Rings because I don't think it's in that element necessarily. I think it's more like Dungeons and Dragons. It's taking a lot of the tropes of those specific genres and trying to create its own mythology, its own world. So where did you guys get the ideas for your specific world? I mean, how did you try to keep things so they didn't feel like retreads?
I think role-playing games in Dungeons and Dragons had a strong part and was actually, you know, part of the initial concept of the series itself. Once you really dig into the story, a lot of that goes away. That's how it begins, and you're thinking, oh, it'll be so great. We'll have the healer in the tank, and the healer is going to heal the tank in the middle of battle. And using a lot of those tropes in the initial sketch work to create the story is great and fun and useful. And actually, you know, seeing those things play out that we were so familiar with worked really well. And then you dig in, and you actually have a cinematic story to tell, and the structure of filmmaking goes on top of it. And you go back into the mode of filmmaking, and the roots are still there, and everyone can still feel those and sense those, but the truth is that the storytelling takes over.
Yeah, and I think what was interesting about Mythica is we really spend a lot of time on designing the characters and building the characters. You know, they started out as stock fantasy characters. We definitely wanted, you know, we wanted our tank and our healer and our thief and our wizard, and, you know, those are the core characters of the series. But just as we delved into them and their relationships and their true arcs, story arcs, then I think they take on a life of their own, and they just naturally leave those stereotypes behind. But as Jason says, you know, they're very grounded in that. We came into Mythica wanting to make the ultimate Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Oh, I think you guys did a really good job, which it kind of brings me to a question I had. I want to commend you on the look of the film, because when you watch as many movies as we do, and we watch a lot of them, you hear independent fantasy and you do get a little leery because of SIFI and a lot of other places. But, you know, you get concerns about the visual aesthetic. I really think Mythica is a film with a very sleek look. It has numerous sweeping vistas. I was actually kind of surprised to see it in an independent film. Very solid costume design. I really liked it overall. So what was the most difficult part of all of those elements to pull off?
You know, our director on the piece, Anne Black, she actually started out as a costume designer, and she had a very heavy hand in the costume. So, you know, once the characters are all dressed up, then the world starts to feel a little more real. So we spend a lot of time on costumes and the look of the characters, and then the look of the places where they were in, you know, the set design, etc. Of course, a lot of the film takes place outdoors, and we're fortunate to shoot here in Utah. Utah is already kind of like a fantastical landscape.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very varied state, from, you know, high snowy mountains to salt flats to red rock deserts. And so, you know, we just try to utilize as much as we could of what has been given to us right here. So, you know, we ended up traveling all over the state to kind of get different looks and to really maximize the opportunities that we had right here. And I think that comes across, you know, it's a pretty place to film, and we just try to capture that with people in good costumes.
Well, it was done very well. I want to ask you, as independent filmmaker, is that something you approach with hesitation, because you realize some films, like, especially, you know, people that don't seem to put any heart into it will have that stigma of, you know, the effects, the look, nobody, they don't seem to care. They just throw up a camera, whip out a movie, where I think you guys really put some heart into it. Do you worry about that?
For sure, there's a stigma. I mean, even with actors, like we had Kevin Sorbo in this, and and when you go pitching to anyone and you tell them, oh, we're doing an independent fantasy film, you can see, in especially in the agent and the manager's reactions, and even in email or on the phone or in person, you can see what's going on in their mind. Oh, this will ruin my client's career. Kevin a little bit more understood that and was able to look at our past work and say, hey, this will be great. I'm looking forward to it. But you do have that initial reaction, and I think it is convincing people and the people you're working with, and of course the people who you're giving the film to, that this isn't like that. And the biggest, most successful films in the world, which no one's ashamed of, are of this genre. It's not the genre problem. It's a filmmaker respect problem for the genre. And I think often those two things get in the way of each other, and we have to make sure that we come out on the side of, even without a huge budget, we can put enough love into this to make it look great.
Yeah, and we do have to send our past work basically to everyone on the outside that we're involved with the project. But, you know, fortunately, the Mythica movies are Arrow Storm's 11th, 12th, 13th movies or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a strong track record both with our actors now and with also our distributors all around the world. So they know what they're going to get. They're going to get a product that, you know, has had a lot of care and a lot of attention to detail put into it.
Well, I really like what you guys did here. And I also appreciated Melanie Stone in the lead. She's kind of captivating, honestly, and I've never seen her before, but she seems to pop up a lot in your films. So how did she come into your sights?
We looked at a lot of casting options for Merrick, for the character, and a lot of them had good TV credits. We were working with casting directors who gave us some interesting options of people who who had done significant work. And to be perfectly honest, on tape, we knew from partway through that it seemed like Melanie was the best thing we could want. And by the end, nothing else held a candle. And she was a fantastic cast, a great actress. And we'd worked with her in small roles before. So like you said, she popped up in a few things. But those were really all over a very short period of time.
We actually found her through another director we work with, John Lyde. Mm-hmm. You know, he was shooting Survivor for us at the same time that we were in pre-production and also filming on Mythica. So he cast Melanie in a small role in Survivor. And as we were casting Merrick and having a really hard time finding a good one, we looked at people from all around the world. John said, hey, you should audition Melanie. And we took a look at her and, you know, was kind of, we couldn't believe that she was right here in Provo with us, but she did turn out to be the best option. So we're just really happy we found her.
She's very charming. I really responded to her. I thought she handled the part pretty solid. I want to ask you, how did you guys end up with Con TV? It's a very new channel. There's a lot of buzz around it. So I'm kind of curious how you ended up there.
The actor in the film, Jake Stormoen.
Okay.
Made an introduction to someone who we were already working with, Wizard World, and talking to Wizard World about doing a big Comic-Con tour circuit through their con. They've got, you know, over 20 conventions in the U.S. And so we've been working on that side of things and meeting people from Wizard World and talking to them. And then it turned out that Wizard World was partners with Cinedigm, a company who we'd actually used as a distributor before on one of our movies, and that those two companies had joined forces to make Con TV, which they were calling kind of Hulu for Geeks. And we said, oh, yes, I wish there was Hulu for Geeks. That would be perfect to get all of the audience of our science fiction and fantasy all in one place, and it'd be a place that we could really focus on. And then the actor Jake Stormoen, who plays Dagon, made one key introduction, and things just sort of ran away from there.
Yeah, I think it was very much an alignment of goals. You know, Con TV's, I think, a great concept, and what they need more than anything, I think, is original programming, mm-hmm. Just like any other channel these days. You know, they're building up a bit of a library now of original programming, and I think as they continue to grow that, I think it's a fantastic service. You know, I think the future of TV is very much these niche channels streaming online where, you know, different fans of different genres can have a la carte programming as they desire. And so we're excited for Con TV. We're excited for the possibilities there, and we just hope that it can take off and cement itself in the geek world as the kind of premier destination for interesting and original content.
And, you know, your quality wasn't diluted. Because I watched the screener, which, you know, is totally separate, and then I went to Con TV just to compare the two. It's contv.com for anybody listening. And you don't lose any quality. It's a very good service.
Yeah, good. Glad that they're doing a nice video job.
Absolutely. And I got a question in terms of your producers. So a lot of people hear the term producer, and they don't know what that means. You know, they think it's just somebody that writes checks. Can you give people listening a little bit of an insight into what goes into what you do every day?
That's correct. The term producer is just kind of thrown out there, but what a producer really is the person who puts together and forms the project and often guides the overall vision of the project. You know, you hire your director and cinematographer and costume designer and all the other creative people to basically fulfill that vision. But ultimately, in the truest sense, the producers are the ones who have the vision for what this project should be and then hire all the right people to fulfill that. So, you know, Jason and I are the writers and producers, and in that sense, it's very much something we conceived of and working on every step of the way.
I think if I could add something, it would be that One of the things that we, on an ongoing basis, is we have a big board of many projects, and a producer is looking for the worthy project and then putting the plan together to to make that project perfect. And that means, yes, finding the right director, getting the script right, working with writers. You know, that's the ultimate producing. And in that way, that's why a producer is responsible for the picture as a whole. Why, you know, the Academy Award for Best Picture goes to a producer, because made each piece of that happen. And even though the director's the key creative, I think, of course, once the story is written, that director, I believe, should be, in our case, worked with and chosen by the producers to get a vision right.
Thank you. I appreciate that. A lot of people listening, I get emails about that all the time. You know, what does so-and-so do? It's always nice to clarify for people so they know what everybody's job is. It's a lot more in detail than I think you ever get in the press or you ever get watching a movie. What's next for the two of you? What are you doing next?
You know, we're working on Mythica 4 and 5 on a script level, but we're also writing another series right now. It's another fantasy-based series, definitely aimed at, longer-form storytelling. So Mythica is very much movies, a series of movies, and what we're working on right now is a TV series. So, you know, we're enjoying writing that and creating a very different fantasy world and very different characters. But, you know, it's just great to be immersed in a project. And I think that's the most fun that Jason and I have is actually in the writing and pre-production phase, where you just have free reign to create something interesting, which, you know, other fans are just going to fall in love with.
Any preview as to what that's going to be? You don't want to give anything away yet. I understand.
Well, I don't know. We just haven't in any public space really talked much about it.
Okay.
It looks right now like it's going to be a 6-episode series to begin. It's darker, I would say, is tonally than Mythica. The characters are darker. The story's darker.
Yeah, it's working title is The Outpost, and it's set at a distant military outpost, and it's just, I don't know, it's got a lot of, it focuses again on a female central character, but it's a revenge tale. We'll throw that out there.
It's a story
of revenge in a far-flung fantasy military outpost.
Well, I was just sort of rambling, and you actually gave them some information.
I can remove it if you like. It's up to you.
No, that's fine. Everyone will know soon enough.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Where can people find your movie? ConTV, obviously, it's ConTV.com. It's out now. Mythica is there currently, right?
Yes.
So they can watch it.
And the Kickstarter for Mythica 2 just launched a couple of days ago, and so if anyone goes to Kickstarter and looks for Mythica 2 or Mythica the Dark Spore, but anyway, if you look for Mythica, I'm sure you'll find it. It's the trailer for Mythica 2 is on there, so if you like Mythica and go to ConTV and check that out, you definitely want to go see the trailer for number 2, and if you're interested and enjoyed Mythica 1, consider supporting us.
Yeah, and I do want to add, you use the budget to help accentuate the movie. You know, you did that with the first one, and I think it's paid off, and the supporters seem very, very happy with it. So I really encourage people, if you like Mythica, go check that out. And you guys were on the front page of Kickstarter, was it yesterday or this morning? I can't remember which, but you were on the front page.
Yeah, we've held the number one popular spot a bunch of times on, like, if you just went straight to Kickstarter.com. I don't know what page we're on right now. But we were on New and Noteworthy, Staff Picks. We've had every every honor that Kickstarter can give us, so we're happy with that.
Yeah, we love our Kickstarter backers. They're the fans who are most involved and get in on the ground level. And so we give a lot of great rewards and great updates, and we're in touch with people a lot. So it's a great way to get involved with the actual filmmaking process. So check out the Kickstarter.
Well, I appreciate it. I know you guys said that you needed to get going. I really appreciate your time. I think people are really going to enjoy hearing this. And we've got a lot of people that are interested in the movie, so I'm hoping that'll garner some interest for you guys as well.
Great. Well, thanks so much.
When can we expect Mythica 2 to hit?
Oh, I don't know. We'll move as fast as we can once it's complete. And like we said, maybe complete kind of was hopeful at a month.
I think we can look for it probably in about May.
Oh, that'd be great. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate your time. And if you have any other questions, otherwise, I'll let you go.
Thanks so much.
Excellent. Thanks, Aaron.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go, guys. That was my interview with producers Jason Fowler and Kynan Griffin from Aerostorm Entertainment, which, again, their website is aerostormentertainment.com. Their movie Mythica is now available on contv.com. That's contv.com. I urge you to go check it out. It's a very new way to watch television, and I, for one, am very curious of where it will lead. We've talked about that on the show I don't know how many times, about how things are evolving in terms of television and how a lot of things are moving towards the internet, and this is really one of the biggest steps. So you can get sucked into watching a lot of their stuff that they have available, so I give it a shot. Once again, thanks for listening to the Hollywood Outsider podcast. My name is Aaron Peterson. I always appreciate when you guys come by. We try to bring you interviews with filmmakers in the world of independent cinema when we can. We try not to do it too much. You know what I mean? I really want you to get something out of it. Talking to a producer and seeing how much they put into making a film like this, I think really helps people appreciate the work that they do. And I really hope you enjoyed the interview. Remember to subscribe and review us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or through whatever podcast app you currently use. Our normal show has a new episode every Tuesday and is available at thehollywoodoutsider.com. This is Aaron Peterson reminding you that the next time you head into the theater, buy popcorn.